In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This brings a new meaning to the saying about preaching to the choir. And it's unfortunate that we're under these circumstances. Pray that we have these obstacles to allowing people to participate in the services as normal are removed. I've heard some people try to say that it's actually a good thing that people are deprived of going to church because they can be like St. Mary of Egypt out in the desert, acquiring the prayer of the heart and becoming a great saint. Well, it's not a good thing when the services are not made available to people. It's a bad thing. On the other hand, even bad things can be for your salvation if you respond to them in the right way. So if you, through no choice of your own, are deprived of the services, and you choose to make it for your salvation, you choose to take that time to learn how to pray more on your own, and to spend more time reading the scriptures, reading the lives of the saints, and praying, it could be for your salvation. So in that sense, it can be a good thing, but it's a bad thing that we're in this situation, and we want to pray that God will remove it. I sent out a link to a post. I posted this on my blog, but I'm going to read this essay by St. John of Shanghai. But before I read it, I'm going to give you some of the background so you can understand what he was talking about. St. John was from Ukraine, and I can't remember exactly how he put this, but he was talking about the fact that he was born under the Tsar, and then you had the Bolshevik Revolution. I think at the end of World War I, Ukraine was briefly independent, and then it went back under the Soviet Union. So he said something like, I was in four countries, and I didn't move. So this is the kind of upheaval that he went through as a young man. And then he went to Serbia after the White Army lost the Russian Civil War, and he spent some time there, and then he was made a bishop and was sent to Shanghai. And so while he was the bishop of Shanghai, World War I began. It began a lot earlier in Asia than it began in Europe. So the Japanese invaded on July the 7th, 1937. And on August the 13th, they began to bombard Shanghai, where he was. And so he's addressing Russians who have gone through one civil war, fled to another country, and now they're going through another war. And so he's trying to comfort his flock. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, and from thy presence, whither shall I flee? If I go up into heaven, thou art there. If I go down into Hades, thou art present there. If I take up my wings toward the dawn and make my abode in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand guide me, and thy right hand shall hold me. These divinely inspired words of the psalmist David should be particularly in our thoughts during these days when the entire world is literally quaking, and from every direction comes news of all kinds of distress, shocks, and calamities. Before you can concentrate on what is occurring in one country, you are distracted by even more threatening events which have unexpectedly erupted someplace else. And before you can get a grasp on them, yet other news distracts your attention to still some other location, forcing you to lose track of the previous ones, even though they have by no means reached their conclusion. In vain do the representatives of the nations consult in order to find a remedy for the common affliction. They encourage one another, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Calamities in the lands where they are unfolding do not come to an end when suddenly new ones begin in places which had been considered safe and calm. Those who flee from troubles in one place find themselves amid troubles elsewhere that are even worse. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Amos 5:19. Whereas another prophet said, "He who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare, for the windows from on high are opened, and the foundations of the earth do quake." This is what we see happening in our days. A person sets out for his peaceful occupation and suddenly falls the victim of military action which erupted in a place where no one had expected it. The person who escapes danger from military action finds himself amid the horrors of natural catastrophes, of an earthquake or a typhoon. Many meet their death where some had escaped it, while other people are prepared to risk their lives rather than waste away in places considered to be secure because they anticipate other catastrophes which could soon come upon those areas. It would seem that there is no place on the globe in recent times that remains a peaceful and calm haven from troubles in the world. Everything has become complicated politically, economically, socially, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, as the Apostle Paul wrote. And to these dangers in our days, we must also add dangers in the air and danger from the sky, which are especially frightful. But when all the dangers listed by the Apostle Paul were endured by this glorious chief of the apostles, he had a great consolation. He knew that he was suffering for Christ and that Christ would reward him for these sufferings. "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." He knew that the Lord would grant him the strength necessary to endure even greater tribulations. And for this reason, he boldly says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." These current catastrophes are so terrible for us because they have come upon us because we are not firm in the faith and because we are not enduring them for the sake of Christ. For that reason, we have no hope of receiving crowns for them. And what is even worse and leaves us powerless in our efforts to counteract our misfortunes is that we do not strengthen ourselves with the power of Christ. We put our hope not in God, but in human powers and means. We forget the words of the sacred scripture, "Trust ye not in princes and the sons of men in whom there is no salvation. Blessed is he of whom the God of Jacob is his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." And again, "Except the Lord build the house, in vain do they labor that build it. Except the Lord guard the city, in vain doth he watch that guardeth her." We keep trying to find a firm foundation apart from God, and so we suffer what was foretold by the prophet. "This sin will become for you like the sudden collapse of a wall of a strong city under siege, and which is then immediately vanquished. Woe to those who are leaning against those walls." Just as a collapsing wall crushes those who are leaning on it, in the same way, with the destruction of false hopes, all those who place their trust in them will perish. Their hope will be like a staff of reed. When they grasp you with a hand, you broke and you pierced their shoulders. And when they leaned upon you, you broke and injured your loins. It is entirely different with those who seek the help of God. Our God is a refuge and a strength, a helper in afflictions which mightily befall us. "Therefore shall we not fear when the earth be shaken, nor when the mountains be moved into the earth in the heart of the seas." Nothing is fearful for the person whose hope is in God. He does not fear men who work evil. "The Lord is my light and my Savior. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defender of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The horrors of war are not fearful for him. "Though a host should array itself against me, my heart shall not be afraid. Though war should rise up against me, in this have I hoped." He is calm when he lives at home. "He that dwelleth in the help of the Most High shall abide in the shelter of the God of heaven. He is ready to sail across the sea. In the sea are thy byways, and thy paths in many waters. Boldly, literally on wings, he flies through the sky to distant lands, saying, 'Even there shall thy hand guide me, and thy right hand shall hold me.' He knows that if it pleases God to protect his life, 1,000 shall fall at his side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but unto thee shall it not come nigh. Even death is not fearful for him, because for the person whose life is in Christ, death is gain. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake are we being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, and make holiness perfect in the fear of God. This is what the Lord says, loose the bonds of wickedness, forgive unjust debts, let the oppressed go free, tear up every unjust agreement, share your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, cover him, and do not mistreat your own people. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer you. You shall cry, and he will say, I am here. Lord, teach me to do thy will, and hear me on the day that I call upon thee. May thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, for we have placed our hope in thee. Humble John, Bishop of Shanghai, August 30th, 1937. Amen.